Hey everybody, welcome to Two Off the First. It is May the 8th, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. Got plenty to talk about today. Some issues with the LPGA's TV schedule, courtesy of Golf Channel. And then the big news of the day on the PGA Tour board side. And it just feels like the PGA Tour business-wise is in bad hands. We'll talk about that too. We are presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use that promo code GolfNewsNet25 and save 25% off your first order. Things are looking great. It's getting to be summertime. We've got great prints, clothes that breathe really well in all kinds of conditions. Shorts, too. Check them out, swannies.co. So, personally speaking, I may have talked about this some here. I don't remember very much, but we've been dealing with a company, a syndicate in Asia that's been illegally copying golfnewsnet.com in full and republishing them to these random domains in an attempt to create a negative look, whoever hired them to do this, create a negative look for Golf Newsnet and drive down our search engine traffic because they are copies of the site and duplicate content is against the rules, is not something you're supposed to do, and lots of backlinks, shady looking backlinks, your website looks bad, and Google doesn't have the systems to handle this properly because they put the onus on the publisher, even though why would I want anything like that? So update basically to all of this is I found a way to get rid of it, and it should be on the way out the door next week. I'll do probably an article or podcast about it sometime, but I've been updating different people in the world, and some of you who are interested in that listen to the show, so I wanted to give you a heads up on that. All right, let's talk LPGA real quick. It doesn't have to be a full-blown discussion about this, but we've got the Cognizant Founders Cup this week, right? The LPGA. Upper Montclair Country Club in Clifton, New Jersey. Really great golf course. $3 million purse. I think it's somewhere in the range of like 37 of the world top 50, 38 of the world top 50 in the field. And that's a really high number for the LPGA because there are plenty of players on this list that play predominantly, if not exclusively, in Korea or in Japan, and they're just not ever going to play an LPGA event unless it's like a major. So for them, if you're getting anywhere close from like 35 to 40, you've done a really good job. You've got a great field. And this is an important tournament for the LPGA. Mike Wong created it when he was the commissioner as a means of trying to, one, create a schedule, you know, build out the calendar. I mean, originally it wasn't even really meant to have much of a purse at all. And then it turned into an event that became important to the players because it celebrated the history of the LPGA going back to 1950. And Cognizant is a sponsor on the LPGA, now on the PGA Tour. It's a good event. But on top of all of those things, Nelly freaking Korda is going for her sixth win in as many starts, which would break the LPGA Tour's record for that mark. And she's doing so on a course that Jin Young Ko, who's seemingly getting back into form, absolutely loves and has won on twice, I believe. There's your matchup. That's the week. You go, okay, well, I'd love to check that out. How do I get to watch such compelling golf? And Golf Channel goes on tape delay, MFers, because that's what they've decided to do this week. They are showing 2 hours of tape delayed coverage of the Cognizant Founders Cup, which is in the Eastern time zone, playing the Eastern time zone. And they're going to show just tape-delayed coverage, 7 to 9 or 8 to 10 on the weekend. And there you go. Have a great time. Good luck. That's the TV coverage for the week. Now, the pushback to that is, well, we have ESPN Plus for this week, which is great news. My buddy Will Haskett's doing it. He's fantastic. It's great that they've got that kind of coverage for some extra coverage for LPGA fans. And they're going to do a couple of hours on Peacock, just for Peacock. And that's fine too, that's better than nothing. And they have changed the schedule a little bit from what was the original intent to add live 2 hours of coverage, I believe from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. But that's on CNBC. So all those additional options I've laid out for you, ESPN Plus and Peacock, they are subscription products. You have to pay money to watch them. And then you have to know that they exist and that they have the coverage, which NBC does a horrible job telling people what's on Peacock. And ESPN also does a horrible job of telling people what's on ESPN Plus because there's so much of it. What are they supposed to do? They've got like 100 things they stream a day. It's incredible. But that comes at a cost, right? How can you promote it all? You can't. It's impossible. So if you don't have those subscriptions, and ESPN Plus is like 11 bucks a month, Peacock's like, what, 5, 6 bucks a month? So unless you're paying in upwards of $20 a month for both those services, you can't get that coverage. You're not getting it. Then, on CNBC on Sunday, no one thinks to watch CNBC for sports. Remember when back in the day, many of you may not be old enough for this, but back in the day, the PGA Tour signed a contract with the PGA Tour Champions, then the Champions Tour, to broadcast their events exclusively on CNBC. It was the dumbest thing of all time, because who would want to tune in to the business channel to watch golf? Nobody. It was a disaster, and the second that it could change, it changed, and it went back to Golf Channel. It was a terrible idea then. It is a terrible idea now. And they still do this, by the way. They do this to the LPGA almost exclusively, because they do it with the Amundi Evian Championship as well. And they put large swaths of the tournament on CNBC, which is just unbelievable to me. So you've got this schedule, and I know we've got a signature event this week, and you've got the Myrtle Beach Classic, and I'm very happy that Myrtle Beach is getting a PGA Tour event. But they've got a 3 or 4 year deal on this. This Nelly Korda stuff only happens once, like every 20 years. And there's no way that they can move the chess pieces around so that... Put the Myrtle Beach Classic on CNBC. Move that to streaming. I know you don't know the contract. I know your contract says you got to put this thing on Golf Channel. Well, figure out how to make it work. And that the PGA Tour isn't savvy enough to go and say, hey, we're very proud of our tournaments, and it's great that we're making our debut in Myrtle Beach. We've got a lot on the line too, but maybe we can work out something here with the LPGA. Maybe we get a live hour, I don't know, something in the morning. Just literally anything would be better than what this is, short of less coverage, short of nothing, because you're not able to tap into this moment. And let's just go ahead and say that Nelly Korda wins. That's asking a lot, I understand. But if Nelly Korda wins, and that happens on CNBC, and then you see it later on tape delay, what a mess. What an absolute mess. And I know there are contracts, but this kind of crap is infuriating. It really is. And there has to come a point where, and by the way, there was a story written, I believe, from Sports Business Journal about this, the LPGA coverage issues, because I've been vocal about it. No Laying Up guys have been vocal about it. Andy Johnson, the Friday folks, have been vocal about it. Brendan Porath as well. A lot of people have been vocal about this. Like, you've got this opportunity to get people to watch, and instead, you're putting on the region's tradition. Again, no knock to the champions. It's a cool event. But in the ranking of this week's events of importance, Nelly Korda, I'm telling you, is number one, because she can do something that has never been done. Never. You got a nice signature event with 69 players that doesn't move the needle. Because you don't have Scottie Scheffler, and you don't have Ludwig, and the ratings are horrible. The ratings for the CJ Cup Byron Nelson were down 25% from last year, which was down 25% from the year prior. So you're telling me that basically they've lost 42%-ish of their audience for that event in 2 years. Golf is in deep doo-doo, and you need something exciting to get people back. Or at least get people to turn it on. And right now, that answer is not the PGA Tour. It's not LIV. It's not the PGA Tour. Your best shot is Nelly Korda, who was at the Met Gala. She wore Oscar de la Renta. She looked great. She represented the sport well. Second golfer ever to show up to the thing. Tiger's the other. That's a really cool moment for the game. Build on that stuff. And instead, nope, tape delay. Or you can watch it on three different other places. That is atrocious. And I'll probably get a comment or an email from someone on social or whatever. He goes, oh, well, no one watches the LPGA. No one cares. No, you don't understand. You have no idea what you're talking about. This is a chicken and egg problem. When you put the LPGA on network TV and give it a proper due, you usually get a low seven-figure sum for an audience. That's a good number. But when you put it on tape delay, or you bury it in the middle of the afternoon, or you just don't, you clearly don't respect the product, that people aren't going to find it on purpose, and they're just not going to watch. And so you reinforce that issue because you haven't tried. And this is an example of that. And that really is upsetting to someone like me who watched the LPGA for the better part of 25 years. Basically going back to being a teenager, learning about professional golf and getting into the sport, all that stuff. I've watched it since then. And it has always been this infuriating. And meanwhile, you've got ESPN and CBS and ION TV and all of these different folks who are investing in showing women's sports at good times, live, in front of people, and just saying, hey, this is really fun, you should watch it. Not going, oh, lady sports are on, shh, don't watch it. No, they want you to watch it. They are willing to watch, makes you, give you the good TV time so you can watch something cool, right? 150,000 people were concurrently watching a bootleg live stream of a WNBA preseason game because two international players that were recently drafted were a part of that game and it wasn't available elsewhere. People can find this stuff if you make it available to them, but you can't, we can't live stream, like, we can't do that. We can't just go out there with iPhones and put together a production. A little bit easier if you're sitting in a basketball arena. But otherwise, that'd be your best chance to watch this stuff. And it's a real shame. It's a real, real shame. So there's that. That's bad. The other bad thing is Rory McIlroy is not going to be on the board for the PGA Tour. He's not going to be on the policy board. It's not going to work out. He talked a little bit about it ahead of the Wells Fargo Championship, where he is clearly the marquee player, and more or less said that the players who are currently on the board, more or less invoking Cantlay, to a degree Spieth, I don't know about Tiger because they're in business together, but certainly Spieth and Cantlay, those guys don't want Rory McIlroy back on the board, even though their exiting board member, Webb Simpson, specifically asked for him to be reinstated to the board because he wants to get a deal done. And he believes McIlroy will help engineer that deal. And this whole thing is just another exposure of the CF that is happening here. In real time, we are less than a month away from a year since the announcement of this framework agreement, right? Nothing has been accomplished. Nothing. That's very cool that Fenway Sports is involved. Todd Lewis is reporting that Theo Epstein, former Boston Red Sox GM, VP, former Cubs, similar title. They had a different title with the Cubs, but whatever. He's going to be working with the PGA Tour to improve the product. Why are we asking Theo Epstein to do this? He's a baseball guy. He's a number-crunching guy who can evaluate talent. He's not a marketing guy. He's not an experienced guy. None of those things is what he is. And now he's involved. So you're telling me the Fenway money is going great. We're going to put Theo on it. He's got it. He'll make everything great again. No. Oh, gosh. So you've got all of these people in place who can't agree on what they need to do. And at every step of the way, have found a way to mess it up. Right? It's been a just comedy of errors, or now it's borderline tragedy of errors. Because while all of this is happening, what numbers we just talked about, 42% down in 2 years in your audience for the Nelson, which used to be a big deal, or at least a bigger deal. You got lucky that McIlroy and Lowry decided to play in the Zurich Classic on a whim, or I promise you that have been down a quarter. You've got decent ratings for the RBC because people want to watch Scottie Scheffler. So you've got that right now. That's your one and only hope is Scottie Scheffler just murdering people the rest of the year. And if that doesn't happen, people aren't going to watch. Doesn't matter if it's a signature event. It doesn't matter if it's a regular event. Not watching. And you had all this talk of the players among bigger names. We need to do something. We need to acknowledge the fan. We need to do something better for the fan. We need to stop making it so apparent that this is all about the money and go do something that makes this somewhat of a call, you know, a canary in the coal mine kind of thing of we can bring the fan back if we do this, if we start doing this, start doing this outreach. And that's not happened. There's no coordinated effort at all, and Theo Epstein is not the answer. So now you've got people on the board who don't want McElroy to be a part of it because they know he will try to engineer a deal. He has a constituency in the DP World Tour, which seems pretty important at this point. He has a existing relationship, however minor that is, with Yasir Al-Rumayyan. He clearly is interested in having a deal done that structures it so things just move on. And at this point, and I've been very vocal about this for what? More than 2 years now. I don't like that the Saudis are involved here. It is what it is, though, now. They aren't going anywhere unless the... And you should read this if you have an opportunity. Go read the Wall Street Journal story on their just quagmire of a city concept known as NEOM. The line is this idea they're going to build a 100-mile-long... massive skyscraper that would house millions upon millions of people and be the next great global city. And they were supposed to have a couple million people living in it by 2030, and now they expect to max have 200,000. They thought it would cost like $500 billion. It's going to cost in the trillions. They don't have that money. That is literally the only thing that could stop this, that might get them to pull out of golf. But the problem right now is that Jay Monahan negotiated in secret, destroyed his trust with his players, and gave the green light to go deal with the Saudis yourself. That's why John Rahm did it, right? He might have stayed. He might have stayed if they kept up at least a little bit longer, if they had kept up the barricade, if they all agreed, hey, look, screw those guys. We're sticking with this. But they didn't. Monahan negotiated in secret, created the framework agreement, and then somehow figured somewhere along the way based on the pushback, maybe we'll just slow roll this and it'll work out fine. And maybe we can pull in private investment and that'll work out great. And everyone will be happy and no one's going to leave. But the problem is, this is personal for the Saudis. For so long as Al-Rumayyan has the green light to spend on this, he will spend on it. He's not going anywhere. So yes, the live product may not be enjoyable. It may not be good. And we can talk about that in a minute. But at that point, at this point, it doesn't even matter. They don't, nobody involved cares about you. Nobody involved at the highest level cares about you, the fan. They do not care. They don't even know that you exist. They are fighting over fewer and fewer people, fewer and fewer eyeballs, because so many people are mad at this. And they don't like what's happened. And the people who are involved in this, either ancillary or direct line, all they care about is money. That's all they care about. How can I get the most money out of this? How can I leverage this the most for my career, my financial gain? All that stuff about the fans and the players was lip service. You tell me what you really feel by how you do it, not by what you tell me, not by what you say, right? The old actions speak louder than words idea. And what the actions are very apparent. You've got a group of PGA Tour players on the board. And by the way, they should not be running a business. None of them should be running a business. Zero of them. Definitely not Patrick Cantlay and Jordan Spieth. Probably not Tiger either, even though he has run some businesses with help, right? No. And then the people who did the negotiating, well, they don't have the trust of the players anymore because they did their part in secret and they were bad actors too. Now you've got a guy on the other side who will patiently wait and do this at his own time and his own speed. And when he feels like spending money, if he wants to to spend more money, he'll do it. And he doesn't care whether it brings in 5 more eyeballs or negative 12 or 500,000. Because it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's shown. We've seen it by now. We've got enough data about live events to know there's no growth on live. It's just not happening. So this whole thing is sucking the life out of professional golf. And I'm not saying that if you put Rory McIlroy on the board that this would have all been solved, because he's just one vote. He can easily be outflanked in a board setting. But the paralysis that has happened at this point is going to continue to drive fans away. It's going to continue to hurt the product. And no one's going to win except the people who already took the money, who are already getting paid off. And for you people, well, you know, you players on the equity side who are receiving equity stakes, if you get an equity stake and the equity is worth less, then you are nuking your own finances. You're nuking your own value. And they don't think about that either. I mean, this is basic stuff. It's just unbelievable the level of incompetence involved here. And then the level of ego and borderline narcissism involved. And this whole thing, everything, all of it, comes at the cost of the fan. All of it. And the Liv folks can go, well, we just want to do something different. You've done something different. It's not working. PGA Tour players, well, loyalty over, you know, legacy over leverage or whatever. Well, that didn't work either. Nothing is working. Nobody is winning. So, you have to figure out either how you want to lose or how you want to win. If you keep doing this, everybody loses. Everybody loses. If you want to come up with something that will just kind of begrudgingly move forward, maybe you could start the process of trying to lure fans back by actually doing things to bring them back instead of just paying it lip service. Because that project has to start yesterday. And all of this other stuff is delaying that. It's just the reality. And this is just another manifestation of all that. So, I'm very unhappy about all this. I'm not rooting to have Saudi money in professional golf more than any other person. Like, I don't want that to be a thing. But the reality is, you're going to have to come to some kind of agreement. Or you're going to have to bring in so much more private equity that is willing to withstand whatever the heck Yasir Al-Rumayyan is willing to spend, that he is not limited to your business model and he is not limited to your budget. Until he's limited to the budget of Bin Salman, MBS, apparently an assassination attempt on his life. He's limited to that budget. And there are extenuating circumstances that could create a serious problem for Liv's finances moving forward. Mainly the massive cost of NEOM and what that might mean to the bottom line for the budget for other stuff under the project of the public investment fund plus the federal budget of Saudi Arabia. That's geopolitical, and that's a kind of pipe dream at best, right? So good luck to you figuring it out, but do something. Stop just twiddling your thumbs and these buffoons who are trying to run this business as player directors. You need some help. Need some serious help. Theo Epstein ain't it. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Back tomorrow with another show. Go play in my 9-hole league tonight. Very excited about that. And to underscore everything here, no matter what happens with the professional game, we've still got golf. We have golf. We have our golf. And that still makes me extremely happy. Give me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Leave me in a review for Apple iTunes or on Spotify. Follow me on social media, Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, Ryan Ballingy Golf, Facebook, and YouTube. On all of those services, and the handle Golf News Net as well. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on Two of the First.